Selections from the testimonies. Setting forth important principles relating to our work in general, the publishing work in particular, and the relatio. Selections from the testimonies. Setting forth important principles relating to our work in general, the publishing work in particular, and the relation of our institutions to each other. George's Terrace, St. Kilda Road, Melbourne, December 23, 1892. Dear brethren of the General Conference, I testify to my brethren and sisters that the Church of Christ, enfeebled and defective as it may be, is the only object on earth on which He bestows His supreme regard. While He extends to all the world His invitation to come to Him and be saved, He commissions His angels to render divine help to every soul that cometh to Him in repentance and contrition, and He comes personally by His Holy Spirit into the midst of His Church. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Ministers and all the church, let this be our language, from hearts that respond to the great goodness and love of God to us as a people and to us individually. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Consider, my brethren and sisters, that the Lord has a people, a chosen people, His church, to be His own fortress, which He holds in a sin-stricken, revolted world. And He intended that no authority should be known in it, no laws be acknowledged by it, but His own. Satan has a large confederacy, His church. Christ calls them the synagogue of Satan because the members are the children of sin. The members of Satan's church have been constantly working to cast off the divine law and confuse the distinction between good and evil. Satan is working with great power in and through the children of disobedience to exalt treason and apostasy as truth and loyalty. And at this time, the power of satanic inspiration is moving the living agencies to carry out the great rebellion against God that commenced in heaven. At this time, the church is to put on her beautiful garments, Christ our righteousness. There are clear, decided distinctions to be restored and exemplified to the world in holding aloft the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The beauty of holiness is to appear in its native luster, in contrast with the deformity and darkness of the disloyal, those who have revolted from the law of God. Thus we acknowledge God and recognize His law, the foundation of His government in heaven and throughout His earthly dominions. His authority should be kept distinct and plain before the world, and no laws are to be acknowledged that come in collision with the laws of Jehovah. If in defiance of God's arrangements the world be allowed to influence our decisions or our actions, the purpose of God is defeated. However specious the pretext, if the church waver here, there is written against her in the books of heaven a betrayal of the most sacred trusts and treachery to the kingdom of Christ. The church is firmly and decidedly to hold her principles before the whole heavenly universe and kingdoms of the world, steadfast fidelity in maintaining the honor and sacredness of the law of God will attract the notice and admiration of even the world, and many will, by the good works which they shall behold, be led to glorify our Father in heaven. The loyal and true bear the credentials of heaven, not of earthly potentates. All men shall know who are the disciples of Christ, chosen and faithful, and shall know them when crowned and glorified as those who honored God and whom He has honored, bringing them into possession of an eternal weight of glory. The Lord has provided His church with capabilities and blessings, that they may present to the world an image of His own sufficiency, and that His church may be complete in Him, a continual representation of another, even the eternal world, of laws that are higher than earthly laws. His church is to be a temple, built after the divine similitude, and the angelic architect has brought His golden measuring rod from heaven, that every stone may be hewed and squared by the divine measurement, and polished to shine as an emblem of heaven, radiating in all directions the bright, clear beams of the Sun of Righteousness. The Church is to be fed with manna from heaven, and to be kept under the sole guardianship of His grace. Clad in complete armor of light and righteousness, she enters upon her final conflict. The dross, the worthless material, will be consumed, and the influence of the truth testifies to the world of its sanctifying, ennobling character. The Lord Jesus is making experiments on human hearts through the exhibition of His mercy and abundant grace. He is effecting transformations so amazing that Satan, with all his triumphant boasting, with all his confederacy of evil united against God and the laws of his government, stands viewing them as a fortress impregnable to his sophistries and delusions. They are to him an incomprehensible mystery. The angels of God, seraphim and cherubim, the powers commissioned to cooperate with human agencies, look on with astonishment and joy that fallen men, once children of wrath, are through the training of Christ developing characters after the divine similitude to be sons and daughters of God, to act an important part in the occupations and pleasures of heaven. To His Church, Christ has given ample facilities that He may receive a large revenue of glory from His redeemed, purchased possession. The Church, being endowed with the righteousness of Christ, is His depository, in which the wealth of His mercy, His love, His grace, is to appear in full and final display. The declaration in His intercessory prayer that the Father's love is as great toward us as toward Himself, the only begotten Son, and that we shall be with Him where He is, forever one with Christ and the Father, is a marvel to the heavenly host, and it is their great joy. The gift of His Holy Spirit, rich, full, and abundant, is to His Church as an encompassing wall of fire, which the powers of hell shall not prevail against. In their untainted purity and spotless perfection, Christ looks upon His people as the reward of all His suffering, His humiliation, and His love, and the supplement of His glory. Christ, the great center from which radiates all glory. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Ellen G. White. Consolidation of the publishing work. The subject of consolidating our publishing work, to bring it under one management, has been presented to me, and I have been shown what the outcome would be. It would result in bringing all the publishing houses under the control of a man-made power at Battle Creek, which already has far too extensive a rule. It will be urged that since the publishing interest in Battle Creek is under the supervision of the General Conference, matters are placed on a different basis, and that the objections to consolidation are removed. But the same influences that have been leading away from the principles upon which our publishing institutions were founded are still working. There is a change of name, but to a great degree the management is the same. It is no time now for any institution among us to act out the principles of Rome in seeking to bring everything under its own control. The General Conference is assuredly embracing altogether too many weighty responsibilities. It cannot carry them with the present core of workers. It is best for our brethren in Battle Creek to think more deeply and pray more earnestly before they shall make any further moves to enfold all the publishing interests. You are in need of the teachings and leadings of the Holy Spirit of God. Let your managing forces walk humbly with God and seek wisdom from Him to manage the interests that have already accumulated at Battle Creek. You will need a much more efficient staff than you now have to do even this. When the present inefficient corps undertakes the management of the publishing work in the whole field, they are acting contrary to the will of God. I protest against it in the name of the Lord. If the publishing house at Battle Creek had kept clear from all encroachments upon the rights of others, the responsible men would have had a decidedly different record in the books of heaven. The record of the books is soon to be opened. The time is at hand when the vision of the prophets is to be fulfilled. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Daniel, speaking of the destruction of earthly kingdoms, says, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let all take heed as to the principles that govern their dealings with one another, for all their works are to be brought into judgment. There must be no confederacy to ignore the individuality of the publishing work on the Pacific coast. Let not our brethren attempt to submerge the identity of the Pacific Press in the publishing house at Battle Creek, thinking to increase the strength of both. The Pacific Press has been led to depend too largely upon Battle Creek. Its managers should have discerned the talents to be found on the Pacific coast and would have shown true wisdom in securing all the ability possible in order to make their work a complete whole. Let the publishing house and the Pacific Press regard each other as sister institutions. In cooperation, they can exert a healthful influence upon each other, but not in consolidation. These institutions are not to become merged into one. The managers in Battle Creek have indulged unchristian, unbrotherly feelings, even envy and jealousy, toward the Pacific Publishing House. They have had a feverish desire to belittle that institution and to bring it under their own jurisdiction, but the light that I have had for years is that these institutions must stand separate, each preserving its own individuality. A nearer relation than this will tend to the injury of both. The arrangement of the General Conference to take the supervision of the publishing work will not remove the difficulties that have existed unless there is a decided renunciation of the principles and methods which are not in the wisdom of God, nor for the interests of the work. Methods which God does not approve have leavened the minds of men who do not discern the outcome of these ambitious plans. They give their assent to that of which they know very little. I fear that the managers of the Pacific Press have accepted propositions without the careful and prayerful consideration which should have been given them. No proposition should be accepted, no matter whence it may come, unless it is definitely stated in writing, and a copy given to the managers of each institution. Then let several of the leading men together bring the matter before the Lord, spread out the writing before Him, and with earnest prayer seek for clear discernment and sharp discrimination to decide whether the plans proposed are for the glory of God and the good of both institutions. As you ask for wisdom, believe that you receive, and you shall have, for God has promised it. Blank may, with the purest motives, make propositions that have no appearance of injustice toward any institution outside of Battle Creek. But the terms in which the propositions are made may mean much more than is apparent to the Pacific Press managers. Some of the men on the other side have purposes in view which they do not clearly define. From the light I have had, the Pacific Press has consented to accept propositions that will open the way for still others, and may bring results which its managers do not now foresee. I write this in order that no hurried motions shall be carried through, but that every point may be carefully and prayerfully considered, with its probable results. I repeat, the fact that the General Conference has taken the control of the publishing work does not remove the objection to consolidation. Matters are presented to me as in no more favorable condition than before. The very foundation of the evil has not been removed. The same men are acting in the interests of the publishing work at Battle Creek, and their policy will be essentially the same as in the past, bearing the signature of men, but not the endorsement of God. I am anxious to publish the testimonies that have so long been in the hands of a few. The people are in ignorance as to the significance of the decisions of your councils, for they have not the light which you have received. As soon as other work can be completed, I mean to publish the testimonies that have been waiting so long. But if our brethren persist in their efforts to consolidate the publishing work and bring the Pacific Press under the management of the authorities at Battle Creek, I should feel it my duty at once to gather up and publish the writings that have for the last 20 years expressed the will of God on this point. Oh, may God save His people in this perilous time. Wisdom seems to have departed from the prudent. The truth is hidden from wise men and is revealed to babes. The cause of God will not be left in unconsecrated, unskillful hands. Signed, E. G. White, July 1896.